Monster Man, Episode 487, Task Genies, Part 4. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Before we begin, I should say that this is another episode recorded in a hotel room in Las Vegas, and you may be able to hear the air conditioner in the background, or other background noises, planes going overhead, etc. I'll try to cut it out in editing, but I don't think it'll affect the overall quality. But this is part of what recording from the road means, and I hope you don't mind. Okay. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the Monsters of Al-Qadim, the Arabian Nights-inspired fantasy setting for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And today, we have the last two in our series of Tasked Genies. As you may recall from previous episodes, these are genies who have spent so long focusing on a particular job, or task, if you will, that they have become a genie that just does that, rather than a Dao, a Jinn, an Ifrit, or a Marid. The last two entries in this list of task genies are very different from each other. They are the Warmonger and the Winemaker. Let's start by taking a look at the Warmonger. Now, just as the name suggests, Warmongers are a little bit more than just warriors. They are generals and strategists for genie armies, or in some cases they might wind up serving human rulers, just as the other task genies do. They are tough fighters, but that's not really their main role. They mainly give bonuses to their troops through inspirational leadership and strategy. So they are military advisors, they're military commanders, much more than they are warriors, even though they are no slouch in a fight. A lot of the tasked genies, it seems to me, include elements that kind of hint at the dangers of over-specialization. So they tend to be quite single-minded, even quite narrow-minded, and the Warmonger is no exception. It is totally focused on military success and military conquest, even at the expense of the civil system that that conquest is meant to protect or support. So it may be that the Warmonger feels that the thing that is getting in the way of it winning the war is the civilian government, even though the goal of the war, theoretically, should be to protect the civilian government or advance its goals. Of course, it's not like military coups never happen in real world or mortal society, but this is definitely something that is a real risk with the Warmonger. I think the Warmonger could be a lot of fun, especially because I think you could have it appear twice. So let's say you have an emir who is losing a war, so he sends the player characters to find this great general and get them to commit to the task of protecting the emirate, and that means going and finding this Warmonger genie and making some kind of contract or bargain with him. But eventually the Warmonger might decide that the thing holding back the war effort is actually the emir himself, and the Warmonger might rebel or might exceed their instructions, especially if the thing about the emir that the Warmonger doesn't like is that the emir is, you know, lawful good or something. So if the emir thinks that it's not okay to destroy this city or devastate these crops or something like that, but the Warmonger thinks that it is a strategic necessity, then the Warmonger might be tempted to overrule the emir. Because Warmongers are not, you know, they're bound to prosecute the war, I guess. But they're not bound, but they do seem to use their judgment in what that means. So they might decide to win the war by whatever means are necessary, even if those are means that their human or genie employer or lord might not condone. But at the same time, getting rid of this great general might very well endanger the war effort in another way. And like having an ongoing military campaign in a fantasy game, just because it allows you to throw in those kinds of plot lines and incidents without having to introduce the conflict out of nowhere. Next up, we have the winemaker. The winemaker is a very unusual looking genie. It's got a kind of composite animal structure. I'm unfamiliar with any folkloric antecedents it might have, but it feels like it must. It's so unusual. It has this long trunk. Otherwise, it looks like a hybrid of different other mammals. They're very small by genie standards, and they have a lot of abilities that are meant to help them in the specific task of wine production. And for that matter, I don't know why this isn't just an artist. I feel like a winemaker genie is maybe a bit of a, well, not a controversial subject, but it raises questions in an Arabian Nights-inspired setting that it might not in a European-inspired setting, solely because, you know, Muslims aren't supposed to drink alcohol, although, like all dietary restrictions in religions, that rule is unevenly observed. There are times and places where, even though technically Muslims aren't supposed to drink alcohol, it's pretty widespread, and there are times and places where it actually is a pretty commonly observed rule, especially when there's legal enforcement of it. But I don't know what the situation is with the religion of Al-Qadim. Like, does it have the same restrictions on behavior that Islam does? I assume not, but I could be wrong. The winemaker genie feels a little bit like a comical figure to me. It has, for instance, the ability to blind you by spraying you with wine from its trunk. You know, if it's in its winery, it can suck up some of the wine from the vats and squirt it at you. Like, that's a humorous thing to have happen to you. I don't think this is true, but if you told me that the winemaker genie was from a specific scenario that featured a big set piece fight in a vineyard, I would believe you. Like a lot of other task genies, winemakers are kind of idiosyncratic perfectionists, so they don't like working for employers who attempt to interfere with the way they make wine. So they don't mind certain other types of restrictions, but they really don't like it when you try to restrict how they do what they see as their main job. They tend to work for very short periods of time, which makes me think that they're establishing vineyards and then moving on, because it says they don't work for more than 2 years, which, okay, I understand that wine was served a lot newer in pre-modern time periods, but a lot of the task genies are playing on modern understandings of the relationship between patrons and artists, or at least not necessarily medieval ones. That being the case, it feels very strange to have such a strict time limit on someone doing a task that is so associated with the idea of vintage and change over time, the amount of time that it'll take you after planting the grapes to have a really good wine. It seems like winemakers would stick around for longer. They also get drunk a lot and eventually kind of fall prey to this drunkenness or alcoholism, which is very much not the kind of stereotype of winemakers or wine snobs in Western culture, I don't think. Like, winemakers are seen as great artists. They're seen as able to love and appreciate the wine that they make, but I wouldn't say that the classic image of them is as someone that's drunken. So the winemaker is a very odd task genie. I mean, maybe no odder than some of the other ones. They're all a little unusual. But I do like the idea of having a big set piece encounter in a vineyard and winery. It seems like you have interesting terrain with the rows of vines. You have all of the barrels and vats and things that would be in the winery. You can throw wine bottles at people. The winemaker genie can run around desperately trying to keep them from harm. I think there's a lot of fun, almost sort of slapstick action that you could have in a scene like that. And therefore, I approve. All right, that is about all the task genies that we have time for today. In our next episode, we are going to finally look at a monster that is not a genie, and I hope that you'll join me then, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.